This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. This is Peter Scoop Stanton talking to you from my telephone. I'm having some computer issues here at the studios in the metropolitan Washington, D.C. area. But let me see if Walter's online. Walt, how are you doing today?
No, I'm here, my friend. Happy Valentine's Day, bro.
Happy Valentine's Day, Walt. If you go on my Twitter account, or Walter's Twitter account, this morning I put a picture of Walter on and said, Happy Valentine's Day to my partner in crime, and put his picture from a screenshot from 7-5 Radio. What I did that for was because the Fox News, Fox Channel affiliate here, Fox 5 in D.C., had this thing where all these people put the Happy Valentine's Day for their loved ones as a something, I don't know, corny. But for whatever reason, they didn't pick Mr. Yerkew's picture. But they did pick a picture of Dan and Don expressing their love for each other on Fox 5. But anyways, well, let's get down to business. First, we need to remember Detective Brian Simonson of the New York City, New York Police Department. His end of watch is February 12th, 2019. Detective Simonson was the victim of friendly fire. Police were called for a man robbing a T-Mobile store in Queens, and Simonson and a whole bunch of other uniform officers responded to the scene, and Simonson was actually outside the store when the shooting occurred because the perp was running out of the store, and he had an imitation toy pistol. Shots were fired, and for some way, somehow, some reason, Detective Simonson was shot and killed. Even though he was not the perp, he was standing outside with the other officers. A little thing about Detective Simonson, he was the detective for the, the delegate for the Detectives Union, Detective Endowment Association for the 102 precinct. They had a union meeting that day, and he was excused from work. But he decided that after the meeting, he was going to go into work because the 102 had a brash of robberies going on, so he wanted to continue to do his job, and he went to work. And then he was investigating, him and his partner slash supervisor was investigating a robbery suspect or a brash of robberies when the call came over. So they were in the immediate area and tried to apprehend the individual. And of course, the person was apprehended. Of course, he had a long rap sheet. And, of course, the media did not put a picture of this mope on the TV and the papers, which tells us he's probably a member of a protected class. Well, what are your thoughts about this tragedy?
It's awful. It's a sad day in the NYPD and across the country for the men and women that put their lives on the line every day. The investigation is continuing. Preliminary investigation reports are saying there was 42 shots fired. Seven officers were on the scene, including the detective and the sergeant, who were both in plain clothes, that responded to this robbery. The NYPD is a fantastic organization. It's known worldwide. They take care of their own. They will find what the situation was at the time. Unfortunately, the detective lost his life. The sergeant was shot in the leg. At this point, they don't know who shot who. And, you know, there's so many branches in this shooting that's going to be an unfortunate outcome for especially the officer who fired the shot, who hit this detective. There's going to be many sad things to come. Sad news for everybody all around. Our condolences go to the families but everybody involved. So I hope the NYPD gets on this and gets to the bottom of this investigation as quick as possible. Of course, you know, you all have internal affairs in there, muddying up the waters a little bit. You know, of course, they have their job to do, but the investigation is continuing at this time. Again, it's a sad day for the NYPD. It's a sad day for the NYPD. Of course, every time an officer is shot, and this one is unique where it is friendly fire. And when the investigation unravels, we'll understand more of what happened that night.
Right, and even though, Walter, you and I, we both did not live up to the standards of the New York City Police Department. We both served with the NYPD, and we both agree it's a great organization, and we wish we could continue our tour duty with New York's finest, but, you know, things happen. But, you know, that's why we have 7-5 Radio. We have a bigger voice for New York's finest and the thousands of others. Officers and deputies and special agents and so on and so forth on 7-5 Radio. But anyways, Walt, not to be outdone, Mayor de Blasio did have a moment. He did express his condolences for the Detective Simonson and the members of the NYPD, but he went right back to work. Mm-hmm. And he went on Twitter talking about some tragedy going on in Yemen, and some poor people didn't get some city services or whatever, and the guy doesn't stop. I mean, you think he's running for office for 2020?
Probably. He'll throw his hat in the ring at some point. I mean, as a loser's hat, it won't land in the ring when he throws his hat. But, you know, last officer that was shot and killed last July, he didn't attend her funeral. I think he was in Europe or something. Well, flew off to Europe.
What happened was he was on vacation, or he was in Germany for the G6 summit and to visit his son who attends Yale University. So, you know, the de Blasios are working class people. And then, you know, as Detective Mitos Familia is laying in a morgue, he's out telling people how to live in Europe and what a bad place America is. And then, you know, at last minute he flew back for the funeral and had this little ceremony, said his piece, and then went back to hating cops.
It's unfortunate. You know, you have a mayor that doesn't stand behind the police officers. You know, when you know, you mentioned our times as members of the service of the NYPD, my tenure was during the Ed Koch years. Now, Ed Koch, I met him a couple of times, and you know, that man was pro-cop. No matter what anybody thought of him, he was absolutely pro-cop. He was out to protect his cops no matter what. And he did, you know, a fabulous job as far as advancing the NYPD while I was on the job.
Yep. And we'll get back to New York's finest, my short tenure with the NYPD. And we'll talk about a couple of things here on 7-5 Radio. Hopefully I can get this piece of crap Commodore computer up and running. You're listening to 7-5 Radio on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, The nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperform gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting back from posting insults on Twitter. This is still 7-5 Radio.
And we're back, and I'm still on a telephone. I'm having some problems with this Commodore 64 computer. Might be time for an upgrade, but we'll continue working on that as we're recording this awesome show. But anyways, well, we're talking about some great mayors that we work for. You worked under Ed Koch. I worked under Rudy Giuliani. And Giuliani, it was... Say again?
It kind of went downhill after that, but go ahead.
Right. Well, that's why New York, back in 1993, decided to vote for the white man against the first black mayor of the city of New York. And... you know, under Giuliani, it was night and day. After I was fired from the NYPD, I still lived in the city, and I still loved Giuliani for what he did. Because I mean, what I did was my fault, more my fault, and nobody's fault but mine. But Giuliani did a great job. Mike Bloomberg, he started this slide, and then we had now we got Bill de Blasio, but. Walt, in our former homestead in New York, not to be outdone, another person is probably going to try to throw his hat in the ring in 2020, none other than Andrew Cuomo, who's the son of Il Supremo, Mario Cuomo. Well, you know firsthand of how awful Mario Cuomo was in New York State history. Despite overwhelming support for the death penalty from conservatives, liberals, all across the political spectrum, whites, blacks, Hispanics, male, female, under 21, over 21, over 65, they all wanted the death penalty, but he just simply refused it. Mario Cuomo hated the death penalty so much that when one Thomas Grasso was escaped from prison in Oklahoma for murder, New York State caught. He was caught in New York State, and Obama says, "I tell you what, we'll pick him back." Right, and Cuomo said, "No, he's going to serve a sentence here in New York, which I believe was life at the time." But then George Pataki said, "All right, well, you know, I'm governor now. I'm going to here you go." But
save the taxpayers millions of dollars to keep this guy alive for 25 years, or 30 years, or 40 years. You know, it's unfortunate that, you know, the governor has the last say-so in it, you know. He's the voice of the people. They elected him, blah, 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 blah. However, I don't believe any person, and it's been showing, you know, in our presidential nonsense, that is not where the buck stops, or it shouldn't be where the buck stops. It should be the popularity vote of the people on what to do with Grasso. And Mr. Pataki came on and sent him back. He didn't get spaghetti. He got SpaghettiOs, or he got SpaghettiOs. He wanted spaghetti. I don't know. Whatever the hell happened. The guy's dead. He's gone. He's finished. He's through. So we don't have a problem with Tommy Grasso anymore. But, yeah, the Cuomo clan is in a world of their own, it seems to be, you know, not just politically, but, you know, journalistically with the other character on CNN. So you know,
right.
The Cuomos do not have a good track record. If and when New York goes back to being a conservative state, I think the Cuomos will be tarred and feathered when that happens, and deservedly so.
Right. Now, if you remember, under Mario Cuomo, taxes were high, good jobs were leaving the state, drove, and people were leaving the state, chasing after them jobs. And 30 years later, nothing has changed. And then Cuomo actually said that he did not want conservative gun advocates living in New York. And so they said, okay, no problem. So they continue to leave New York. But unfortunately, not only those nice conservative gun owners, gun advocates, patriots, they're coming to a state near you, but the same idiots that voted themselves out of prosperity from the Upper West Side of Manhattan, from outside of the city and all over the state. They're educated in New York schools. New York schools are actually good. They have a good state university system, but there's no jobs left, so they're coming to a state near you and do the same thing. I'm seeing it right here in Northern Virginia, and I've talked to this till I'm blue in the face. But here's some of Andrew's achievements while as a chief executive for the Empire State. You now have to register beer kegs like you register your car. New York City Transit Authority, which is overseen by the State Metropolitan Transportation Authority, is in total disrepair. It's going back to the good old 1970s. And then Governor Cuomo blocked the liability insurance program that was sponsored by the NRA, which means if you had a lawfully licensed firearm and you get into some trouble for what, you know, defending your house, or you're getting sued by the guy that you shot and it's a good shoot, they were going to cover liability costs and attorney costs. Also, Andrew doled out $10 billion in sweetheart deals to boost economic development, which is a total flop. New York State lags behind the nation in the economic recovery. New York is still the highest tax state in the union. Andrew Cuomo stopped the Moreland Commission, which was supposed to uncover corruption within the two branches of New York State government, the legislative and the executive branch. But when the Moreland Commission was getting close to Andrew and company, he put a stop to it. He said, all right, you're done. Thanks. And then last year, he put New York State troopers at bridges and tunnels, train station, airport, despite 40,000 cops in the metropolitan New York City area from the NYPD, MTA police, Port Authority PD, and other jurisdictions in the area. Then recently, he made third-term abortion legal, which, I mean, it's just getting closer and closer to infanticide. And when they signed it, they had a big celebration at the executive office building. And then, of course, is the Tappan Zee Bridge, where he named a new bridge after his father, the Mario N. Cuomo Tappan Zee Bridge. You know, so everybody leaving the state can get there a little bit faster. But anyways, the end result is now New York State is $2 billion in the hole, despite Cuomo claiming New York is the most progressive state in the union. When asked about the huge upstate population drop, Cuomo cited climate change. Now, upstate New York's been cold for years and years. And then before the Cuomo's even decided to run for public office, New York, upstate New York, we're talking north of the George Washington Bridge, had steel mills, car plants, General Electric, General Motors, IBM, and Corning Glass, Oneida Silver, Allied Chemical, Kodak, Carrier, Xerox, and now most of them are either gone or just a shell of once they once was. And then when asked about the recent loss of citizens, Cuomo blamed Florida for their low taxes and low standard cost of living, and, of course, blamed Donald Trump. Now, what the media did not tell us was that with a $2 billion deficit, old Andy went to the White House and with his hat in his hand asked Trump for some money. So Donald Trump, to his credit, told Andrew Cuomo, you want that $2 billion? Start fracking. Now, fracking is when you the process of getting natural gas from the earth to transportation. And upstate New York is sitting on a gold mine of natural gas. But, of course, the dummies that live in upstate New York, and, I mean, we're talking in the middle of nowhere, nothing but, like, farmland and nothing. They don't want fracking. Of course, environmentalists don't want fracking because they're afraid that, you know, that their water will catch on fire, or the meth lab will blow up or something like that. So, anyways, well, you got any more comments or concerns about the great son of Il Supremo?
No, let's move on.
All right, we'll move right on. I hear When the Music's Over is coming up. February 12th was the 80th birthday of keyboardist Ray Manzarek. So, you know, we wish him a happy 80th no matter where he's at. Coming up, we got a local controversy here in D.C. concerning the N-word. But we'll be right back, everybody.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Speaking of it publicly for the first time, now that he has a book coming out, fired acting director of the FBI, Andrew McCabe, says he ordered an obstruction of justice investigation into President Trump the day after Trump fired FBI Chief James Comey.
I was very concerned that I was able to put the Russia case on absolutely solid ground in an indelible fashion, that were I removed quickly or reassigned or fired, that the case could not be closed.
McCabe also confirming for the first time in that interview with CBS News that there were high-level discussions at the Justice Department about recruiting cabinet members to invoke the 25th Amendment to remove Trump from office after Comey's firing. In an angry tweet this morning, President Trump calls McCabe disgraced and says he's always been part of the Russia hoax. And this is USA Radio News.
Question, do you have a health insurance plan you are not happy with? Well, Bethany and Jason thought they were stuck. Their plan just kept getting more expensive, and Bethany's favorite doctor didn't even take that plan anymore. And then some friends at church told them about MediShare.
With our previous insurance, we were paying $1,200 a month. With MediShare, we now pay around $600 a month.
Yes, they're paying $600 less per month, and that's a pretty typical savings with MediShare. And they actually like MediShare more.
I was able to go back to my original doctor that I absolutely loved, and it's just been an absolutely beautiful thing being a part of MediShare.
Yeah, so they pay a lot less, and they like it more. No wonder MediShare is growing so fast. Find out more. They're super easy to talk to. All you have to do is call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE, 833-34-BIBLE.
They stayed at the negotiation table for 20 consecutive hours, and when the sun came up on Thursday in Denver, a three-day strike by Denver teachers was over. The union spokesman Rob Gould says,
educators in Denver public schools now have a fair, predictable, and transparent salary structure.
The New Deal also provides incentives for educators who choose to work in high-need schools in Denver. A big budget deal that would keep the government funded past a deadline that's coming up tomorrow night is expected to be voted on today on Capitol Hill. The Senate and the House expected to cast votes on it. The president hasn't said for sure if he'll sign it, but he has suggested he will, and will then find the money to build the wall he envisions somewhere else. After a funeral in Michigan earlier this week, former Democratic Congressman John Dingell, who died recently at 92, is today getting a second funeral in Washington, D.C., where former President Bill Clinton will be speaking. And this is USA Radio News.
Wow, you're still listening? Here's more 7-5 Radio.
Okay, we're back on 7-5 Radio. I'm still on the phone. Just computer some junk. What's your final thoughts on, closing thoughts on Andrew Cuomo? Take all the time you need.
It won't take much time. He just needs to go away, period. Have he got into that office and reelected, you know, it's just a sad thing for New York that they are like so blind. You know, you talked about the resources that New York State has, you know, the gas. I had a friend of mine that lived in upstate New York, and his father or his father-in-law had natural gas on his property. And they came in and, you know, of course, they awarded him, you know, free gas for the rest of his life. And, you know, that worked out well for him. But his property was torn up by, you know, the tractors, and then they finally put the pipes in and everything. And, you know, and then it became a good connection between him and the gas company. But anyway, New York State is the largest state. The largest state that has, or the only state that has the largest milk production, are cow farms, you know, for the cows and stuff. And that's dwindling down, just like you said, because people are leaving New York. The grandfathers who were running these milk farms have died off. Their offspring are getting older. And when they die off, the young kids, the millennials, they're selling the property. And they're making a killing with the property. So that's dwindling down that resource. And Mr. Cuomo is upset now that everybody's leaving New York. Well, it's because the taxes. It's because of the concerns of the senior citizens aren't being taken care of. The crime rates are escalating from New York City all the way up to Rochester. From Rochester all the way over to Jamestown, over to Albany. It's a big mess. And
right,
he's got to get a hold on crime, which is never going to happen because the criminals are voting for him.
Right. And then he's bringing New York State troopers down to New York City. That's a political move. Also to help with the enforcement of the tolls, because eventually all the tolls on the Tyburn Bridge and Tunnel Authority, which cost an absolute fortune, which nobody can afford, people running through the gate. So he's taking troopers from upstate New York, and he's putting them at the toll at the bridges. Even though we have the Triborough Tunnel Bridge and Tunnel Police, I think they merged into the MTA police. But no, he's going to put state troopers out there. And then the state troopers got left in upstate New York, which the number of troopers, I mean, well, I don't know, you remember, like, if you became a New York State trooper, you were, like, almost like one of the knights of the round table. Because I remember on the job, even the city cops looked up to the state troopers. You never saw a fat trooper. You never saw a trooper in a cruddy uniform. You never saw a troop car banged up. I remember going to a funeral in Staten Island 20-something years ago, and of course, New York's state troopers were there, and every single one of them uniform impeccable. And you walk by their troop cars, you know, the showroom new. You walk by one of our RMPs, it's all beat up and dirty and things like that. But then
they look like rolling garbage cans.
Right, and they still do, especially with white. But anyways, my father is telling me a story that a guy he knows became a member of the state police, and was he got assigned near his house. So he's all excited because, you know, he's a member of the New York State Police, and all his bosses were doing was telling him go after write tickets, write summonses, write. Because New York State wants to, they see the people, the citizens, as sources of revenue. And it's not just New York State, it's not New York State Police, it's everywhere around. Because the mayors, governors, county executives telling the chiefs, the sheriffs, like, oh, you guys like your overtime, you like your new cars, you like your new toys, well, go get us some summonses. You know, go right. So then the bosses have to say, all right, guys, you like your overtime, you like your toys, your special details, go out and write. So then, you know, you and I just out there doing our, you know, going about our business, you know, sometimes, you know, maybe we didn't come to a complete stop. Maybe we did. We're going a little bit over the speed limit, you know, and, you know, we suffer for it because, again, because the politicians screw up the state. And if you look at across the country, like New York, New Jersey, California, every state that's in trouble, with the exception of Illinois, they got Democratic governors. And every mayor, every big city with a Democrat mayor is a toilet. I mean, even our hometown in New York, as much as we love it, De Blasio killing that city.
These political leaders, so-called political leaders, you know, like I said, they're elected as a voice of the people. But, you know, once they're inaugurated, once they take office, they forget, you know, that half the city or half the state didn't vote for them. You know, right. And then they refuse to go to the issues of the other half of the state. And, you know, I don't think Mr. Cuomo has been in a subway hall for quite some time. And he's got to think that, he can't be thinking that it's improved, you know, down there in those crap holes. And the same thing with De Blasio. He's on the surface all the time. He doesn't see a damn thing down in the subway hole what's going on down there. I remember when I was a kid, you know, you see people defecating in the corners. You can't, like, go down on the west side of 8th Avenue and go underneath the subway to get to the east side of that, you know, to catch the F train going back to Queens, you know, because people are living down there.
Right.
I remember only one time using the toilet in a subway tunnel. In a subway hole with my father. I was like real little. And now, you know, they're locked up, they're boarded up, and the ones that aren't, people are living in there. And,
right. You know,
those elected leaders are just so out of touch with the needs of not just the conservatives, but, you know, a lot of the left, too. They're not taking care of their state. And I'm not just talking about New York. You know, you got Chicago and L.A. and, you know, you got them all over the place. So, you know, they forget half the state didn't vote for them. And then they don't care about half the people that did. So, you know, so on. That's my thing on Cuomo.
Right. So, anyways, we'll see what happens in 2020. But anyways, moving right along, there's a big scandal, a big non-scandal down here in the D.C. area. In a high school in Maryland, at Winston Churchill High School, the staff caught a number of students exchanging what they call N-word passes during a lunch hour last Friday. And these pieces of paper reportedly handled from student to student provided people permission to use the dreaded N-word. And anyways, whether it was a joke or not, it's been a hot debate. And and I'm looking at a copy of this right now, and it's actually, you know, it looked like just like the Willy Wonka golden ticket from the Jane Wilder movie, not that horrible Johnny Depp piece of garbage. But it says Wonka's golden N-word pass, and it's pretty funny. But as usual, everybody's up in arms. Everybody's offended. You know, everybody wants, you know, investigations to be done. Students were caught. We don't know what the status of the students, are they being suspended or not, but people are up in arms about this. And, you know, it's a big joke, because, you know, everybody says the, you know, the N-word, not, you know, not the other one we don't want to say over FCC licensed airways, but you know, everybody says it, the N-word, because that's the new N-word. So, well, what's your take on kids using a HP printer for a N-word pass, so the fellow students can call each other the N-word?
You know, they're kids, and they want to be kids, and all kids are rebellious. You know, there are very few that aren't rebellious, and they do things just to get a rise out of whoever may get a rise out of it. They don't have a target audience, you know, or a target group. They just do stuff. I know I did stuff just to get a rise out of the grown-ups around me. You know, we all reach an age of more wisdom than we had when we were teenagers. And, you know, when these kids are 60 years old, you know, and become close to our age, their grandchildren are going to do the same damn thing on another subject. Kids will be kids. You know, I remember some years ago here down here in Southern Tennessee. All right, well, we got a break, so we'll get right back to nonsense.
All right, well, hold that thought. We're coming on to our last break. This is 7-5 Radio on Liberty News Radio Network.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly. But I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter Yurkow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Here's Walton Scoop.
Thank you, James Edwards, and we're back on 7-5 Radio. The good news is that I got the computer back up and running, but the bad news is this is the last segment, so I'm going to continue to do this on the phone. You know, that's a gift for buying a third-hand computer off of Craigslist. But anyways, well, I got breaking news from the great news source, TMZ.com. Jussie Smollett from the TV show Empire and the victim of alleged attack told Robin Roberts this morning on February 14th, 2019, that he is certain that the two men in the surveillance photo released by Chicago's finest are the people that did attack them. So anyways, Jussie Smollett said these two guys that, you know, you can't tell what they look like. I don't see any MAGA hats on their head or MAGA ski mask. I'm looking, it looks like two silhouettes. You can't tell. Well, they look like men because based on their height and their broad shoulders, but that's about it. I don't see anybody carrying any nooses or bottles of bleach or anything like that. But he is 100% certain that these are the two men that attacked him. Good on you, Detective Smollett. Well, any words on Inspector Gadget Smollett?
Yeah, I'm so glad that he identified two people you can't see as the people that attacked him.
Yeah, we got, you know. So now Chicago PD will put a bolo or be on the lookout or all points bulletin, as we said back in the day, on two men.
You know, you think that Chicago would say, all right, listen, you can't identify the guys. It's still a silhouette. You can't see their faces. We got better things to do. You know, we got right. Our brothers out in the streets, you know, murdering each other, and our former president don't care. So we're going to get to that, you know, and just right. Talk to this kid like a potato.
Right, unless they're probably what Chicago's finance are probably doing is they're probably building a case against them. Like, you know what, you're using all our resources. We're, you know, pulling detectives off of you know, bodies in the street for your this foolishness. And so, you know, we're going to file charges against you. But then, you know, once they do that, they're going to say, oh, it's racist, even though the superintendent of Chicago is black. But anyways, Walt, last couple of minutes, I want to talk about this. New Green Deal. Now, the media.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Now, here's the thing. You know, the media's been talking about it both on the left and the right, and I can't. I'm only finding bits and pieces of this legislation that Ms. Ocasio-Cortez from Queens was talking about. But from what I gathered. It's legislation they want to. It's supposed to help the environment and help disadvantaged people. But we, you know, it's going to cost like trillions of dollars. It's going to, you know, regulate us to death. And you and I both know the only people going to get rich are people that the lobbyists who are going to invest in these companies that they're going to prop up. You know, i.e. Solyndra. And I don't know how these green jobs or these tough environmental regulations are going to help poor people in the street. You think like a poor person in Baltimore is going to be happy to know that cars are banned, or you can't fly in airplanes anymore?
You know, I just don't. Had she thought of all this stuff through? I mean, who's advising her? She used to be a bartender or something, and I tweeted the other day. Of course, she knows how to solve the world's problems. She listened to all the drunks at 4 o'clock in the morning that were able to solve all the world's problems, you know, in 10 years or less. You know, I don't know where she gets these ideas from. You know, not, you know, using cars anymore. You know, we've been saying, well, I've known that people have been saying for years and years and years in New York City that, you know, if you work in New York City and live in New York City, you don't need a car, right? But try to find a place to park in New York City.
Right.
And, you know, that part I agree with. You know, mass transit is there, but people still use their cars to go 4 blocks, 8 blocks, 10
right.
blocks. Anyway, but, you know, she wants to ban it. She wants to ban plane rides over to across the pond to visit our friends in Europe and vice versa. You know, where is it going to stop?
And don't forget, she wants to ban red meat because cows are. They produce so much methane gas from flatulence. So yeah. She wants to ban gassy cows and cows altogether. So she's going to kill the what's left of the agriculture business. She's going to kill farming. We'll have to subsidize them. And, you know, the no more planes. So the, you know, Boeing, Pratt & Whitney, Rolls-Royce, General Electric, who all make plane parts and make planes, they'll go bye-bye. And meanwhile, the poor people who live in the hood, who have no jobs and live in, you know, a housing project, that could be helped. In New York, the governor spent like 10 $2 billion, I think it was, or some ungodly amount of money to bring 3,000 jobs to the Buffalo area. It produced 700 jobs. But these people,
cow flatulence is such a problem in the five boroughs of New York. It's just unbelievable.
Right. Right. And here's the thing. You know darn well that they'll ban airplanes and ban gasoline-powered cars, and we'll have to put people on trains. But you know darn well they'll excuse themselves. Well, I'm everybody has to do this with the exception of government officials. You know, so they can go fly to Puerto Rico for a political conference, or fly to Europe on a fact-finding mission, or whatever, or fly home for when Congress is not in session. So it's always good for everybody else except themselves, because they see themselves, it's a ruling class, just like the communists. The communists ruled, Russia. They got all the perks, and meanwhile, the rest of the country just suffered.
Well, people like Cortez are such hypocrites. You know, like what's his name? The vice president? What the hell is his name? Clinton's vice president.
Al Gore.
Yeah. You know, all this stuff on global warming. Now she's got this thing on planes and trains and automobiles. Yet she gets into her limousine to go to Washington to these hearings. Yeah, she jumps in a plane to go to L.A. You know, when you stop doing all that stuff, set the example, set the example of it. And it's just unbelievable that, they say, we're going to stop this, we're going to stop this, and then all of a sudden they're still using it, whatever this is. It's ridiculous.
Oh, right. And they want to push everybody into mass transit. And, especially the trains. But you know why they want to put us on trains? Because trains only can go one direction, forward or backwards. Mm-hmm. With a plane or a car or a boat, you can say, all right, let's go to this place. And they're like, screw it, we're going to go somewhere else. And there's a lot less regulation with planes and boats and planes. But, Amtrak is owned and operated by the federal government at a $1 billion a year loss. Amtrak hasn't turned a profit since its inception. Locally, you got like New York City Transit, the D.C. Transit Authority, BART in San Francisco, MARTA in Atlanta. That's all government. So the government owns the trains and the buses. So they want people on government transportation. And in New York, it's falling apart. D.C. it's been falling apart. And in Atlanta, they call it moving Africans rapidly through Atlanta on the MARTA system because it's so just crime-ridden. And only, poor black people ride that system. And there's YouTube videos everywhere about these people acting up in the system in Atlanta. But, Congress does have their own train, but it's a train underground that goes from one building in Capitol Hill to another building in Capitol Hill. And only members of Congress can ride it. You and I can't ride it, but we pay for it, just like we pay for the gym that they worked out at, and we pay for their health care that they don't give the rest of the 800,000 people. So it's always good for thee, but not for me. So that's communism in a nutshell.
Absolutely.
And then right now we're still waiting to see if Trump's going to sign the. Spending bill. He's not too happy about it, and because they want to give absolutely nothing, no money for the border. Beto O'Rourke or Robert Francis O'Rourke, who ran for Senate in Texas, who lost. He had a rally the same day Trump had a rally in El Paso. But what's funny is that he had a big fence dividing himself from the overflow crowd in El Paso, and they show people. Oh, here's Beto O'Rourke talking with fans who couldn't get in. And it was they were fenced in, so fences are good for Beto O'Rourke, but not for the rest of us. Everything's good for the rest of us, but not for them.
In the closing moments, I just want to say this, and I'll say it again. Mr. Trump has an agenda. Okay, with that agenda, we don't always know. But if he signs the deal, that was part of the agenda. We may not agree with it,
But if that's what his outlook was, that's what it is. So take it away, friend.
All right, well, have a happy Valentine's Day. Everybody else do the same. Be safe out there. Wait till next week when I get the computer up and running. Scoop Stanton signing off. Take care, everybody.
This is James Edwards for 7-5 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.